Hi everyone, it's Joe here from Lawn Solutions Australia and welcome to this episode of Turf Talk where I'm joined by my colleague Nathan. Nathan, what are we talking about today?
Thanks, Joe. I alluded to it in the last podcast episode, so it was part one, I guess, of spring lawn care things you need to address. This one, we're going to focus on spring lawn renovation or just lawn renovations, I guess. There's a fair bit that goes into it. Climactic advice that needs to be considered. So it's a pretty all-inclusive topic for us to go over today.
So the first place we're going to start for this is whether or not you actually need to do a lawn reno. Because if you're on the lawn social forums at the moment, everyone's talking about lawn renovations, what they're doing, why they're doing it, when you should do it. But there's something that you have to be a little bit careful of, and that's actually, do you need to do a lawn renovation? It's a pretty important point. And for the most part, the answer is no to that, doing it every single year. You do not have to do it every single year, but it's dependent on the look that you want. It's dependent on the cultivar that you have. If you're after a manicured 10 to 20 mil cut, striped up lawn, then yes, chances are you will have to do a renovation every year. Or if you've got a hybrid couch grass variety and you're on a pretty strict program and it gets lots of nutrient, chances are you're going to have to remove some thatch and do a lawn renovation each year. But if you have you're a standard lawn owner, you just want it to look good without looking great, you might have a variety that you keep a little bit longer, like a Sawatta DNA, like a soft leaf buffalo, you do not have to do a renovation every year. But it's still important to listen to this because you may have to do one of these things that we're going to talk about to keep your lawn looking its best. But the answer to the question is, do I need to reno? The answer, I guess, is no. You don't have to do a reno. But if you are after that manicured look, or if you're after just improving your lawn in general, then a renovation could be a pretty important thing to do.
And it might just be a matter of you only need to address one or two things. You don't have to do the full renovation. You might just need to aerate. You've got some compaction or something like that. So or you might have thatch, and that might entail doing a thatch or a scarify, a scout, something like that, where you might not need to top dress your lawn. So that's sort of the three main areas, I guess, that's included in a renovation. If you're fresh to lawn renovation and you don't know what I'm talking about, that's what we're here today to go through step by step, the steps involved to renovate your lawn. If you do have a buffalo lawn, touching on what Joe said, you probably only need to renovate a buffalo lawn every 3 or 4 years at max, or just when it needs it. It really depends on the inputs that you're putting into a lawn. The more you put into it, the lower you're wanting to cut it, the more you're going to need to renovate your lawn and what you're trying to get out of it as a result. So couch lawns, yeah, we've seen a lot of couch lawns that people just like to do it every year or every second year. And you certainly might have to do that if that's what you're looking to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially like we said before, if you want to keep it short, just a general rule, the shorter you keep your lawn, the shorter in height. So the shorter that you cut your lawn, the more inputs your lawn needs to stay healthy. So they just keep that into consideration. And this is one of those things that it needs. If you want the great, beautiful look of a manicured shortcut lawn, you will have to do more things to it to keep it looking good. And renovations is just one of those things.
So if you do need to renovate your lawn, what do we need to do? Where should we start?
Let's just start on when, I think, before we actually get into the mechanics of doing a lawn renovation. So our answers on this are they're probably a little bit vague, but they have to be because it depends on where you are and the specific temperature at that time. So just a general rule I guess we can throw across all of this is do not do a lawn renovation until your lawn is actively growing. And by I mean actively growing, it must be growing week on week and you're mowing every single week. Don't do it if you get a little, say you're in the southern states and you get a little spike in temperature at this time of year. Don't jump straight into a reno. Wait until your temperatures are consistently warm because you don't want to scarify, core, top dress, so cover your lawn in sand and then it, drop half the temperature.
We see it a lot. Yep. People jump the gun. You get a burst of sunshine or warmer temps for a few days, but then the next 3 weeks it drops off. We have another cold snap. So your lawn's basically just sitting there really starting to struggle, covered in soil or sand.
So. Yeah. So super, super important to wait for consistent warmer weather out. We're going to go through a bunch of different topics here. So aerating or coring, dethatching, top dressing, fertilizing, pre-emergence or other preventions, and watering for recovery. Now we're going to do them in an order that we think is applicable to most people, but people will do all these things in different orders depending on their lawn care program and depending on the result that they want. So don't take this as absolute gospel, but we will cover each of the topics as clearly and concisely as we can so you get all the information that you need. So I guess the place to start for us would be dethatching. There's a bunch of different names for this: dethatching, scarifying, scalping. Thatch is the buildup of dead organic matter in your lawn. So you will notice if you walk across your lawn and it's really spongy underfoot or it's really hard to push a mower through it, generally that's because of thatch buildup. And it can also start to discolor. So if you have a soft leaf buffalo lawn, you'll notice thatch because soft leaf buffalo lawns, you can tell pretty easily. They get really, really spongy. But another way to notice is the runners or the stolons actually start growing on top of each other. So if you're looking at your buffalo lawn and you're not seeing beautiful green leaf, you're actually seeing roots or stolons or runners growing across the lawn, you have a thatch problem. So what happens there is your lawn's probably a couple of years old. It's probably a really, really healthy lawn and the stolons or the runners don't have anywhere to grow except on top of each other. So they just pile up and they stack. That's a thatch problem. Couch and Kaikuyu lawns, thatch, again, is just the sponginess to it. You might notice if you have a Tiff Tough lawn or a couch lawn and every time you mow it, you scalp it, generally have too much thatch build up. So dethatching is a really good and important place to start. Now, you can use a bunch of different equipment to dethatch. So basically dethatching, as the name suggests, or scarifying, is removing the thatch from the plant. So you may see some people scalp their lawns down back to the dirt. All they're doing is removing thatch or dethatching. So you can get specialized equipment for this, like a scarifier or a verticutter. So what they are is essentially they're like a normal rotary blade, but the disc instead of horizontal is vertically, hence the name verticutter. And it cuts into the thatch or into the root layer of the grass and removes the thatch that way. Another way you can do it if you don't have the specialized equipment and can be just as effective is getting your rotary mower and dropping the height of your rotary mower down a couple of notches. But we have to be a little bit careful, variety specific here, Nathan, don't we? You can't go quite as low with a buffalo lawn.
Yeah, if you've got a buffalo lawn, you really got to be careful how low you're going to take it. You're not taking it right down to the dirt. You're looking to take it down to a point where, yes, you're getting some signs of scalping. But the runners themselves, the above ground runners, are really well intact still because the buffalo grasses, they don't have those below ground rhizomes, runners below the ground to repair from. So you can't take it back to dirt. If you do that, it's not going to be able to grow back. It's basically stuff. So really important with buffalo that you'd only take it down so low. I guess an important thing for a lot of people is, do they scalp it first? Do they scarify first? What order would you recommend generally doing it?
If you have a scarifier or a verticutter and a normal mower, I would scalp down first and then run the verticutter through. Otherwise, the verticutter will just be picking up stuff that the mower can pick up really, really easily. So again, everyone's different. People will probably be screaming at me now saying, no, I do it the other way. That's fine. But I think a nice, easy plan to follow is drop the height on your mower first if you have both of these pieces of equipment. Knock it right down with the mower and then run the verticutter through it because otherwise you're just going to be hitting stuff with the verticutter that the mower is going to clean up anyway.
If you've got a quick growing grass like couch that's going to recover really well, really hardy, got good rhizome growth there, you might knock it down a few notches with the mower, give it a light scalp, then scarify, and then run back over it again with the mower again to tidy it up and pick up more of that material and really tidy it right up. But it really depends on your location, the grass variety you have, and the extent of what you're trying to achieve.
And just if you're going to use a rotary mower to do this, that's fine. I would consider if you have an older mower somewhere. A lot of people have a mower that they just use to scalp because it can be quite hard work on the mower depending how thatched up your lawn actually is. So if you do have, you know, a lot of people have two mowers now. If you do have an older one that you're not as concerned about, I'd be using that. It's fine to use with a new mower, but if you're going to do this all the time, it can put a fair bit of wear and tear on your rotary mower if you're going to be...
And we talked in our last podcast about replacing your mower blades or making sure they're nice and sharp. It's a surefire way to undo your good deed. If you were to smack it down onto and scalp your lawn with those new blades, they're not going to last very long.
So buffalo leaves some material in the ground, as Nate said before. Couch and Kaikuyu, you can pretty much go straight down to the dirt. Permitted your lawn's well established. It's had at least a season of growth. If it's a new lawn, I wouldn't be telling you to go down that low. You probably don't need to renovate a new lawn anyway or a new lawn that's been laid in the last 6 months. But if it's had a season or more of growth and it's couch or Kaikuyu, it's got strong underground roots, which are rhizomes, so you can take it down pretty low. Zoysia is the same. Zoysia has a strong rhizome system, but I wouldn't be going all the way down to the dirt unless you're north of Brisbane in a really, really warm climate. You just run the risk because it's a slow-growing grass if you get a cold snap or even cooler than average weather, you can run into a few problems. But dethatching in this whole renovation process is probably physically the most demanding task. It can be a really hard thing if you have a thatched up lawn, and you have to be you have to consider the fact that you are going to have a lot of material come off your lawn, particularly if you've got a larger lawn, 250 square meters plus, you are going to have a box trailer load of material potentially, yeah, come off your lawn. So don't stand there with your green Sulu bin and think that's going to be enough, because chances are it won't be. We did a 75 square meter area here last year, and we had something like 30 mower catches off it because it was really, really thatched up. So be mindful of that. Have the equipment in place before you do this. Have a box trailer or a tipper or something that you can get rid of the thatch pretty easily.
And if you laid turf 10 years ago and it's your first reno, you're definitely going to be looking at having a fair bit of thatch there.
Get two box trailers. But if you've got a cooch lawn or a kaikuyu lawn and you're removing thatch, and you do have an area, say a larger area that's bare dirt, and you did want to consider putting some material back into the ground, you can use the scarifyings or the stuff you use when you dethatch to actually plant more grass. I know some people talk about that now. They've got a big bare dirt area that they're thinking of throwing seed down or something in, and it's too expensive for them to turf. You can actually use the material that you remove when you dethatch to plant other larger areas if you need to. It's not something that I really encourage someone to do, but people ask us this all the time, and the answer is yes. It's obviously a little bit harder to grow, but it's definitely something worth considering. But dethatching is something to always look at, and it's if you have a thatched up lawn and you don't remove thatch, the negative things that happen to it is it's really going to be really, really hard to mow, but also when you go to use a granular fertilizer or something, it's so hard for that fertilizer and those nutrients to get down to where they need to because your lawn is just so thatched up. That's why it will start to discolor and look hungry really, really quickly.
If you haven't dethatched before, it's going to look pretty bad. It's not going to look great for a few weeks. It's going to look like you've really done a job on it, and your neighbours might freak out as to what you're doing. Many of you have probably experienced that. So, yeah, it's going to look really bad, but it's going to come back better than ever. So don't be disheartened by that as well.
Mm-hmm. So after we've dethatched or we've scalped or we've scarified, the next thing we probably want to look at is aerating or coring and alleviating compaction in that soil profile. Now, you can do this straight away without scarifying or scalping, but if you're going to do the whole process, I'd recommend to do it in this order, because your corer, you'll get more bang for your buck out of your corer. If you have a really thatched up lawn and you're trying to aerate, the cores or the tines probably won't go down as deep as they possibly can because they've got that big thatch layer that's stopping them. So now, people use manual corers and hand aerators all the time, and they're fine for smaller areas. But if you've got a larger lawn, you're really going to have your work cut out for you if you're sitting there.
If you're doing a renovation, you're doing the whole lawn, it's hard work.
It's really hard work, and I'm speaking from experience a little bit here, but it's definitely worth looking at hiring a mechanical corer or a mechanical aerator. I'd try and find a mate or a friend or a cousin or whoever that's looking to do a lawn renovation at the same time. Hire an aerator for a full day and you can split it in half and half, because it doesn't take that long with these mechanical corers. But like, you can get a half day hire for, again, I don't like saying what's cheap and what's not, but you can get a half day hire for what I think is a pretty affordable rate. And it's definitely worth the investment if you want to properly aerate and fix your soil profile. They work a lot better than the manual ones do, and they are 100 times as quick.
So I guess there's sort of two reasons why you just decide to aerate or core aerate your lawn. Compaction is the number one thing. So over time, a lot of foot traffic may have caused the soil to get quite hard. It's made oxygen, water, nutrient really difficult for it to penetrate down to the roots for the plant to take up. So what aeration will do is enable that to get deeper into the soil a lot easier. There's solid tine aeration and there's core aeration. I guess what's the benefits of the two?
Whenever people are doing a reno, I would strongly recommend core aeration over solid tine aerating. Solid tine aerating is good. They do it a lot in sports fields and that sort of thing because they do it so regularly. But core aerating will do a lot more for alleviating soil compaction and fixing your soil profile up. Solid tine aerating, if you've got really hard ground, it won't actually do a lot to benefit the soil profile. It can actually make the problem worse in a lot of situations. So I would look at removing cores wherever you possibly can, because you can fix your soil profile up. And Nathan mentioned before, it's about letting air, water, and nutrients in. The other thing it'll do is if you've inherited a lawn, say you've bought a house, you don't know what prep the last person's done to their lawn. And if they didn't care about their lawn too much, chances are not much. So the only way you can really fix that profile up is by taking cores out and topping it back up, like we'll talk about in a second with a nice sandy top dresser.
So a core aerator, for those who don't know, basically it's a hollow tine that goes into the soil. There's multiple tines on a core aerator. goes into the ground, and when it comes back out, it pulls a core of soil with it, essentially, is what it does. So it removes that core from the lawn, creating more space in the soil profile.
It creates a little crater in your lawn, essentially. Like, it's sort of the, I guess the cores that come out are probably the size of most people's index finger, to give you a little bit of context. And when that comes out, you can actually see what your soil profile is like. It gives you a really good look at what your soil profile is made up of, and hopefully it's nice and sandy. But if it's fully clay and rock solid, you know you've got to do something about it. After you run the core over your lawn, you obviously see little cores everywhere. You can rake them up if you want, but a much easier way to do it is just get your rotary mower back out with the catcher on and run your rotary mower over the lawn. It'll pick all the cores up. If it's a really sandy core, it'll actually bust them up and start to sort of top dress your lawn anyway, so it's not a bad thing. But that's an easy tip for you to clean up the cores from your lawn is just to run the push mower over it.
And if your soil profile is really bad, so your cores are quite full of clay, you're looking probably to remove them anyway so that you can then do the next step, which is top dressing to bring in some soil or a sandy soil base that's going to be beneficial and more permeable, I guess, for your soil structure.
Yep, it's a big word.
Permeable.
Yeah. When we're top dressing, so we've removed thatch, we've cored, so we've got these open cores that are, we need to fill up with something. So we look at top dressing. Now, out of all these things, top dressing is the one that probably gets done the least by people in this situation. We top dress for a number of reasons. One of them is to fix high and low spots in our lawn. I know sometimes during preparation or your turf's not exactly uniform when you get it, you can have some high and low spots in your lawn, so top dressing is a way to fix that. The other one is the stuff we just spoke about before is, you've just cored and you need to fix your profile up, so you've got to fill it up with something. It's best to fill it up with something ideal. The common question we get is, what should I top dress with? The one thing I will say is make sure it's washed, make sure it's screened, and make sure it's, if not straight sand, it's got a really, really high sand content. So there's a couple of reasons we do this. One is it's nice and easy to spread and move around and rake into holes and push down into the cores that you create, but it's a nice soft medium for your grass to grow back through quickly and efficiently. You don't want to use anything too heavy because you'll smother your lawn and eventually you'll be back to square one. Sand doesn't compact as quick as what other clay-based soils do. You can tell if you've got a clay-based soil and a sand next to it, if you roll the clay-based soil up in your hand, it'll form a ball where sand generally won't form a ball. If it's not forming a ball, it's a good enough medium to chop dress with generally. But I can't stress enough, when you're getting it from the supplier, make sure it's double washed or double screened at least to make sure there's no rocks, shells or other foreign material in it. It's a really good point. Or weed seeds and that sort of stuff. Now, top dressing behind dethatching, I'd say it's the second most labor-intensive task. You do have to shovel sand, barrow sand and spread it out, or sand soil. So how deep you go, again, depends on the variety. So if you have a variety that doesn't have rhizomes, like softleaf buffalo, like Sawalda DNA, for example, is you don't want to go too heavy on the top dress. You don't want to totally smother it. Because it doesn't have those rhizomes, the material on top still needs to access sunlight. So you can't cover the whole leaf if you're top dressing a variety that's just stoloniferous like buffalo grass. If you have Cooch or Kaikuyu, you can cover it to a point. I wouldn't, you know, totally smother it with a meter of sand, but you can cover it to the point where you're happy with your levels. I think sort of 10, 20, 30, even up to 40, 50 mil of sand over the top is okay when we're coming to these varieties. But look, you want to use as little sand as possible, the least amount of sand that you need to, because this wash sand can be pretty expensive. So you want to be monitoring that, but feel free to totally cover Cooch, Kaikuyu, even Zoysia grass, again, if you're in that warmer climate, but buffalo grass, just keep it a little bit
less.
And that's
another reason to make sure that you're doing it when your grass is actively growing and it's warm enough to do so that it's going to recover back through that top dressing soil as quickly as it can. And it's going to come back and spread and thicken as quickly as you need it to.
And if you order too much top dressing in this situation, don't stress, don't chuck it out. Try and stockpile it somewhere, because chances are you can give your lawn another top up with top dressing, even without aerating or coring at another time through the season, particularly if you have to fix your levels up. But if you just want to give your lawn a little boost, you can give it another hit with sand anytime you want. Just go nice and light. They in the golf game or the sports game, they call it a dusting, where it's just a very, very light top dressing, and it can do wonders for the colour and the strength of your grass.
So it's a great tool for spreading out the soil as a soil spreader, and it's going to make your life a lot easier. A lot of people will spread it out with the wheelbarrow first, use the spade to put little piles across the lawn, sort of the most efficient way to do it. But then a soil spreader is a tool basically How do you describe a saw spreader?
It's a lawn level. There's a bunch of different names for it, a four-bar rake, whatever you want to call it. It's just a nice wide rake with the four or five, six bars, whatever they have across from, and it spreads the soil or the sand out nice and easily, and it does it really, really evenly as well. If you don't have one of them, you can use any sort of standard rake just to push it out. But if you're using a hard metal rake and you're pushing it out with that, you know, flipped upside down, I'd recommend getting a big warehouse broom or something like that and really pushing it into the profile. That can work really well. If you've got a larger area, what we do out here, it's a little bit dodgy. I guess it's not dodgy, but we actually get a pallet or a cyclone, like a farm gate, and put it behind the rider mower, and you can drive the rider mower around and actually drag the soil around that way. If you've got a large, more rural-based block, it's a nice, easy way to spread soil that quickly. We use a gate here last time, just tied it to the back of the
rider. I've seen lots of things online as well. If you're quite clever with your fabrication, you could probably come up with something that works really well for you and saves you a bit of money as well at the same time.
Absolutely. So after top dressing, I guess we can start looking at fertilizing now. Now, people do fertilizing and top dressing in different ways around. I'd probably suggest top dressing first. You don't have to fertilize straight away either. You can wait for your grass to pop back through the top dressing a little bit and then apply a fertilizer, or you can do them at the same time. We did them at the same time here last year and we had a great result with that. Top dressing first and then fertilizing over the top. Use a granular fertilizer in this situation, but always make sure you have the capabilities to water it in afterwards. Now, whenever you're top dressing or dethatching or even aerating, you should be watering your lawn afterwards anyway, particularly if you've dethatched, because as Nate said before, your lawn's not going to look great. You've exposed all these young roots, and if you get a couple of hot days on them, it can really, really damage these young plants. So it's really important to irrigate and irrigate regularly after you do this. Same with top dressing. You want to water the top dressing into the profile where you can. You don't want to absolutely flood it, but a little bit with the sprinkler each day would be good, just to wash that sand in the profile and help the grass to pop through and grow through that. And when you fertilize, you've got to irrigate after you fertilize anyway. So that's a pretty good order to do that in, I think.
We also, it's a good idea to give your lawn a little bit of a fertilize a week or two before you decide to do a renovation. Get your lawn pumping, essentially. Make sure it's growing nice and strongly as possible. It's got that feed and plenty of nutrients, so that when you do this renovation and it'll turn its toes a little bit in a way that it's prepared to do so, and it's got that nutrient available to do it. And then a fertilize at the end of, or the completion of the renovation, to give it that kick into growth and recovery moving forwards.
And the next step, I guess, after you've done all these is wondering when you should mow. Now, this can be a tricky one, because the first mow after a renovation, you have to have the expectation you probably will pick up some sand or some soil. It's something just to keep in mind. You can't avoid it altogether. So you want to wait probably a little bit longer than you normally would between mows to let that grass really pop back through the sand. You don't want to let it go that long where it defeats the purpose of a renovation, but you don't want to be mowing straight after and just picking up all that sand that you've just brushed into the profile. So I'd wait, at least a week and a half, 2 weeks, depending on how quickly your lawn's growing and what type you have. And just give it a nice high cut. Treat it how you would a new lawn for a little bit when it comes to mowing. And once it's come back through, you can drop it down and you can mow it a lot lower than normal. And you will find, if you are one of those people that wants to get their lawn right down and manicured it at sub 20 mil cut height, straight after a reno is the time to start bringing that down. And you'll find your lawn will accept a lower cut height a lot better after your reno, because you've removed the thatch, but also you've top dressed, so you've leveled it out. If you want a shortcut lawn, you have to have a pretty level lawn in order for your cylinder mower to work well there.
And you've removed all that thatch, so your lawn's probably a little bit thinner during that time. So the important thing is, once you do start mowing again, to start mowing as regularly as possible. Regular mowing moving forwards, whether it's to drop the height or just to keep it under control, will enable it to thicken up again. It promotes that lateral growth of those runners that have been potentially snipped during the scarification process. And regular mowing is the best thing you can possibly do to increase lateral growth, which will thicken it right up again and get the lawn basically at that end game goal that you've been looking for through the renovation process.
Regular mowing, I've said this a couple of times on here, it is the best thing you can do for your lawn in general. It is the number one thing. If you want to improve the look of your lawn, you can mow it more. These people that have sub 20 mil cut height lawns, they're able to achieve that because they mow it regularly. I said before, the shorter you keep your lawn, the more inputs it needs. That's mowing. Mowing's included in that. And people say to us all the time, I want my lawn to look like my golf course. No worries, just mow it three times a week and it will. It's a really important thing to consider. consider if you're looking to get that cut height down. But if you've got the time and you don't mind, it's the best thing you can do for your lawn anyway.
Yeah. On the mowing topic, we see in Australia it's really common for people to want, and they do renovations because they're trying to get their lawn as level as possible so they can take it as low as possible. It's not as common internationally or overseas or in the US. They don't mow their lawns as low as we do in Australia. It's not actually that normal.
No.
It's a great goal to have, it's a manicured finish, a bowling green finish. It's nothing better than it. It looks amazing when you have a lawn like that. But there are pros and cons and nutrients and inputs and all those sort of things and products that go into it. Creating that surface is you know, it's a lot of expense and it takes a certain level of interest in your lawn to do that. But having a lawn at a higher height is completely normal as well. Like you can have your lawn up to that 50 mil bracket, depending on your variety, obviously, and it'll be comfortable there and it'll enjoy having that extra bit of leaf and can be completely normal as well. I think it's an important thing to consider. That short isn't always better.
Absolutely, and it's a trend. That's the way the trend's going, is I've got to have my lawn as short as I possibly can. You can have a beautiful-looking lawn at a height. Like you just said, our international friends that were here earlier this year for our conference, they got a shock with how short we cut our lawns. Even their Tiff Tough and their other hybrid cooch and common cooch lawns, they keep them at, you know, sort of 50 mil and above. It's a really unique and different look to what we used to hear. But a longer lawn isn't an unhealthy lawn. In a lot of cases, it can be a more sustainable, low-maintenance lawn keeping it longer. So don't feel like, even if you do this stuff, that you have to cut your lawn short. This is perfectly fine to do for lawns that are 40 mil and above. It's a really important point that Nath's just brought up.
So that's a lawn renovation in a nutshell, I guess. We've sort of tried to cover off the key areas. There might be some other things you might look to do, like it might be a good time to address pH through soil amendments throughout the top dressing process. You might look to do something like that as well. But I think for the most part, aerating, dethatching, top dressing, and then watering for recovery from there is essentially the main process. And if you're looking at doing it for the first time, check out some information on our website. We've got videos on it as well. We'll have some videos coming up on it if you want to see the process in action a little bit as well. So a bit of a segue into our YouTube videos that'll be coming up. But yeah, that's basically lawn renovation.
Just two things before we do go. The process that we've just described then for lawn renovation, they can also be used to patch an area up or fix an area up. If you've got a part of your lawn that's really, really struggling, even if it's a small part, dethatching, aerating, top dressing, fertilizing is a great way to help that lawn recover and grow laterally and grow sideways to fill up. And also, again, you don't have to do all of these things all at once. If you've just got a thatch problem but you don't feel like top dressing or coring, you can just drop the height on your mower and remove thatch. If you've got an uneven part of your lawn that you want to fix up, you can just top dress without doing everything else. So whilst it's great to do them all together, take some lessons away from each of them individually and you can apply them to your lawn where it's suited. But yeah, as Nath said, check out our video content we've got coming up. You can see us doing it in the flesh here in Berry, and hopefully you get something out of that. So
good luck with your renovations.
Good luck. Thanks, everyone.